Okay, good morning. We are post Hilchos Tisha B'Av, Taf Kuf Samech, Zecher L'Churban. All right, so we just finished Gimel about musical instruments. So just to point out, just to reiterate, so many are Mekel if it's for Shiros V'Tishbachos, if it's recorded, the Ramaz Kula, many of us are Somechan, and also, people do listen to it for purposes of depression, rafua, and some of us say we're all a little bit depressed. You're allowed to do it to make your workers work. It's the way the Mishnah Berurah writes, it's for you yourself, it might not be mutter. Because it's for you, as when you're working, it might be enjoyment. But for the employer to get the people to move, then that's mutter. And whatever, different approaches. And certainly for an alarm wake-up, that's okay. I know schools use it in Israel. I don't know. Okay.
Oh, wake up. That's a Gemara in Gittin about playing music when you wake up. That's
That what?
To use music to wake up to.
That's us, sir?
That's more of a problem.
You know, so show me afterwards. So I'll take that back. Okay?
Check it. Okay.
That's funny. I saw someone say you could. Okay. Let's go on. So that's all right. Thanks to Rav Reuven, I just want to share a quick story from the mid 19th century, as we touched upon weddings in Jerusalem. Sorry, I'll make the share a little longer. We'll cover less ground. But there was a plague in 1865-66, a Magefa, when many people were dying, including Talmidei Chachamim. So at the time, someone did a She'elas Chalom to ask Kadosh Baruch Hu what's going on, and he was told it's because the Kotel HaMaravi was insulted, it wasn't getting enough kavod. So Rav Meir Arabach, the author of the Imrei Bina at the time, he lived in the 1800s, he with other Rabbanim made a Takana, and maybe it was Cherem, I don't know, but basically that they're going to stop music at weddings even. And within a few days after that takana, the Magefa stopped and people stopped dying. So from then on it became, the Ashkenazi Jews in Yerushalayim accepted it, this ban against music. And the way I saw it was only, it was written, the way I saw it was only mutter for drums. I think this is on the OU Torah.org. website, and they only allow drums so that the singers can keep to their beat. But again, the exact nature of the takana is a little bit question mark. So really, you would have to ask your local Yerushalayim posik if you're doing a wedding there, how it applies. Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld also wrote that we have to keep the takana, and it's a gzera that we have to follow for those living for weddings in Yerushalayim. It's a machlokis, if the main problem was a lack of zecher l'churban, or because of the music at the weddings or certain times, it caused certain snias sapritzis issues between boys and girls. There's a question if it applies only to Ir Atika, or anywhere in Yerushalayim, and conflicting views, the poskim of our generation or previous generation understood. So we'll just leave it like that. Rav Sonnenfeld said recorded music is also aser, so too it's quoted b'shem Rav Shlomo Zalman or Rav El Yashiv, but Tzitz Eliezer says it is mutter for recorded music, and so too Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. So I don't know, we'll leave that for the poskim of Yerushalayim to figure that out. But okay. Okay, I think that's recorded music in general. So Igros Moshe writes that it doesn't matter if it's recorded or live, it has the same status. Recorded radio, it's the same status of live. So whenever it's usher, it's usher. Whenever it's mutter, it's mutter. In other words, if bepeh, a cappella, was mutter, so too recorded is mutter. And same thing, this would apply to for Sphira.
What's the connection between acapella and recorded?
Because once you record it, and now you're playing it with the speaker system, the question is, does that become a clay zemer? And so the Sheva Alevi says that turns it into a clay zemer. So therefore, live a cappella would be mutter, but recorded a cappella would be aser. So I know there's different people follow different minhagim nowadays by sfira as well. Okay. Dalet. Let's move a little bit. V'chein gazru al atrot chatanim shelo lahaniach klal. And Chazal also made a gzera not to wear some kind of crowns on the chatanim at the wedding. V'shelo lahaniach chatan barosha shum klil. Nothing. No head coverings. I mean, we wear our hats, but no other special crowns or coverings. Shenemar hasir hamitznefet v'harim ha'atara. And then they also made a gzera for women, for the kalos, for the brides, if it's made of silver. So if it's mei aval shel gedil mutter lekala, but a kala is allowed to wear some kind of a tiara or something if it's made of cloth. But maybe tiara is a half of an atara. Maybe that's a heter for that. But a full crown for sure, that would be aser if it's made of silver. For whatever it's worth, the Mishnah Berurah points out, for all 7 days it would be aser. I've never seen kalos walking around with this all 7 days. And suggests perhaps even if the whole thing is made of stones, it can also be a problem as well. But the Lamaisa, it's if it's not made of silver, it's not a problem. Vidavka, as far as I know, I think. I don't know. Does it say? I don't know. I'm not familiar.
I have a note on the bottom here. Katav Ramban, the Zahav Lav Davka. After Rabbi Yochanan and Mechem Abraith appear.
You're saying in the Shara Tzion, he says gold also? Okay, could be. The Mishnah Berurah does say in the end of the day, though, that we want at least the kala to look nice. We're not as concerned about the chasam. And the minag nowadays is certainly to be mekel if, as long as the, by a crown, as long as the main thing is not made, as long as the main thing is made of not silver, I'm not sure about gold, could be that it's the same. But as long as the main substance is not silver, it can be made with a full of lots of kesef, zahav, and stones, and diamonds, placed on top of the main frame of the crown. That's based on the Ramban, and that's Matra, that's the Minhag. Okay. Vidafka lechasan vikala. The only problem of these crowns is for a chasan and kala. Well, bishara kola nashim v'nashim lagazra. But they never made any kind of a gzera for during the year for anybody else. Okay. I think that's that. Okay. Hey, asur le'adam shiyamale piv schok ba'olam hazeh. It's asur for anyone to have his mouth full of laughter in this world. So, okay, I won't elaborate too much on what it means to be too happy or too full, but let it say, some say too long, too loud, being drunk. Certainly if one is no longer themselves and they're just totally carried away, too much levity, too silly, that would probably suffice to, fulfill the Isser. Laughing at other people just totally can't control themselves and listen to anybody and become rude, etc. When it gets too far, exactly. So it's subjective a little bit, exactly, obviously, where you get.
This has nothing to do with the Chorban?
This is because of the Chorban. It's certainly because of the Chorban. It might also be equally not because of the Chorban. It's a good question. Right. Then only until the Beis HaMikdash is, then we can be full of schok, shkoyach. But, anyway, Mishnah Berurah writes also, too much simcha makes a person lose himself and forget mitzvahs. He says, so that has nothing to do with the Chorban. So I think you have both aspects, and whatever. We'll leave it for a Musar Shemuz by someone more appropriate than myself. So, okay, let's go on. Tav Kuf Samech Aleph. Aleph. This is for Dini Haroa. If you see Are Yehuda Yushalayim Vehamigdash now when they are in a state of destruction. So Aleph Haroa Are Yehuda Bechorbanan. If you see cities of Yehuda in destruction, Chazal may establish that the Are Yehuda were on a higher level, or at least more shayach to us from our Chorban, because the last Chorban was from Yehuda. But either way, it has more chashuv status than other cities of Israel. And so therefore, only on those they wrote, when you see a city of Yehuda in destruction, Omer Arei Kotshecha Hayu Midbar. You should recite that pasuk, or at least those words, V'Korea. And then you tear Kriya. V'eino chayav likroi ala kesha magia samuch lehem kumo min hatsofim lirushalayim. And the only time is when you become close enough, like from Tzofim to Yerushalayim.
In that distance from any other of the Arei Yehuda.
When you're in that distance and you can, and then it's a whole question if you have to actually see it or be close enough. But Pashtas, real simple Pashtas, whether it's true or not, it's when you see it and you're that close. Nowadays, the minhag is certainly, as far as I know, nobody tears on Arei Yehuda for a few reasons. Many of them are generally built up and beautiful. We also are not exactly sure which are considered necessarily the Arei Yehuda that Chazal were concerned about or had in mind. And also, more or less, that's another question, all of Arei Yehuda is in control of the Jewish people. I would like to say all. But, what?
I know one Rav who is
Kohen. Okay, I'm sure there's one, and it's probably not Baal Tashchis. It's probably appropriate, but okay. Okay, so that's for Arei Yehuda.
I understand. Arei Yehuda means the cities that are listed in Sefer Yehoshua as belonging to Yehuda? Is that generally what we're talking about?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure which Arei Yehuda we're talking about. And that's one of the questions, which Arei. That's a whole other sugya. The Takana was done after. It could be any part of Shevet. Oh, Tel Beit Shemesh. Could be.
If they leave the sign outside Beitar, then you know that's the Arei Yehuda.
Okay. So the minhag is not to, but I'm not saying not to. Okay. Base. Haro'e Yerushalayim b'Chorbana. You know what? I just want to get into a quick digression because it's going to come up here, and then this way I can time myself better. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah points, it's Poskim, Magen Avraham and others point out in this Se'if that we're about to read, where it says, when you see Yerushalayim and you see the Beis HaMikdash, it's about tearing Kriya. So they write on there that it's usher to go. Here, I'll read it in the words of the Mishnah Berurah. Nichnas ata lemakom mikdash. If you go into the place of the makom mikdash, chayav kares. You're chayav kares. Shekulanu tamei meis. This is quoted from the Magen Avraham. It's Rambam. It's Gemaras. Ukedusha rishona kicha lishaita v'kicha la'atid lavo. Because the kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash in Har Habayis, that was mekudash from the zman of Ezra. And that Kedusha never left. Yes, there's a Machlokas Rambam and Ravid. If it ever left, Ravid said it did. But he's a Das Yachid among all the Rishonim, and the Halacha is clear from all the poskim, that the Halacha is like the Rambam, that we say the Kedusha is still there. So just a quick digression as far as going on Har Habayis nowadays. Okay, so just, I'll send out a picture in the WhatsApp, but you can look it up. Basically, the Kosel Maravi that we have today, when we daven at the Kosel, so that's the western outer supporting wall of the entire Har Habayis. All right, it's not part of the Beis Hamikdash proper. So, when you see Har Habayis, if you would see a picture, so it's a big. It's according to Chazal, basically it has the area of 500 by 500 amos, and in the middle of it, there is the, it's less than half, it's in the middle. The base is the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, we all know, has the Kodesh, or Kodesh HaKadashim, the Heichal. And then next to it, we have the Azara, or Ezra's Kohanim, and that's and the whole Azara where they did the Karbanos. And that whole area, if anybody is Tamei Meis, even nowadays, and he goes and walks in that area, it's an Isur Daraisa, and your Chariv, the Chayev Kares. That's clear. Anywhere else within the Ezra's Nashim, the Chayel, anywhere, Chayel is this outer wall, right around the Beis HaMikdash proper. Right around, so it's like it's a maybe 10 almost wide, it's a machlokas, but basically it's a thick wall, right around next to the Beis HaMikdash, and that, anywhere within the Chayel, Chazal said, if you're Tamei Mate, if you're outside of the Azara, then it would be an Isser Derabanan, which applies nowadays too, and we're generally all considered Tamei Mate. That's also not very debatable, it's also pretty clear. We're all Tamei Mate, that's the assumption. Anywhere outside, anywhere on Harabayas, in addition, anyone who has Tuma Yotze Migufo, anyone who's a Zav, a Zava, a Nida, and a carry, also, but it's its own question exactly the details of a carry. But basically, anyone who has Tuma Yotze Migufo, it's an Isser Lav. If you go on Harabayas without, if you still have that Tuma on you, obviously a Metzora and others, that's compared to the Machana Levia. And I won't go into all the details, but basically, anyone nowadays who walks on Harabayas, if they're not pure, so then they're also over an Isser of walking there with the Lav because of Tuma. Now, in order to make yourself pure, there are, again, we're not going to go into all the halachos, but there are a lot of halachos on how to properly bathe yourself, check yourself, and often you have to wait a number of days, men, women especially, if it's a nida, if they had marital relations, it's an extra few days, let's say 3 days. For Shechvat Sichvat Pera, Shechvat Pleitat Zera. So therefore, anyways, for numerous reasons, it's very difficult for an average person who's even trying to make himself go to the mikvah and to be pure. Certainly there are going to be people who are very innocent and very religious who are going to make mistakes as well along the line. Chances are. Okay, so going into Harabai. So there's numerous reasons why already Rishonim and early Achronim have already written that it's Asr to go on Harabayis. There's Rav Einar told me that Rav Moshe Montefiore once went up to Harabayis, but he did it with, I think, being carried by Arabs and maybe in some kind of a Kli'etz or something, without getting into all the details. In other words, to avoid issues of being Tamei Meis. What?
Goyim can go there.
So that's also a problem for going to go there. So all these issues, and basically there was a cherem or a takana against people going up, and that's always been the established halacha for Yerushalayim. That's without a question. And so they put him in Nidui, and so he had to ask for mechila, and he won't go again. And then they let him out of his nidoy. So anyways, that's just a little bit of a background of the issue. 1 second. Okay, so what are some of the problems nowadays with going on Harabai? So obviously, with all the baggage I just pointed out, or the issues we just pointed out, number one, it's not clear. I know some people think it is clear, but objectively, it's not 100% clear where exactly the Kodesh HaKadoshim is, at least not according to all opinions. It's certainly not 100% clear where it is, where the Beis HaMikdash is, where Harabayas is. And so that could lead to problems. Okay, obviously you could make yourself know exactly the safe zone, L'kol HaDeos, that is possible. So one of the issues is people being Chayav Kares, Yisuri Lavim, there's Yisuri Darabanan. And the biggest issue, obviously, is even if you think you yourself can go up onto Harabayas, and you know how to go up to Harabayas al-Pi Halacha, If everyone's allowed to go, then it's going to be a big problem because a lot of people are for sure going to have issues, are going to be over the halacha of going. So just to reiterate, or just to point out some of the main issues again. So one of them is, Lamaisa, everyone holds, there's no mitzvah nowadays to go up to Har HaBayis. We're not makayim any specific mitzvah. Maybe if you're praying to pray in there, which if you do, you get arrested. So I don't know, maybe mentally, but there's no, you know, if you're not bringing a korban, there's no re'iyah, there's no real mitzvah to go up there. There are security issues, political issues. Again, we mentioned Karis, Lavi, Misri, Darabanan. But the biggest issue is, some of the biggest issues are your nikshal for other people. You're going to make other, if you allow yourself to go and other people to go, you're going to make other people go. And there is an isser, just like any shul, the post can point out, just to go letayel. It's asr just to go up to Har HaBayis and just, you know, look at it like a museum. So that for sure is an isser. The Rabbanan or the Raisa is a question, but that's for sure an isser. So obviously if you're going for a purpose and you call that tefillah and it's kibush and binyan based korban abayit, so that's obviously going to be a debatable issue. But there are certainly going to be other people who are going up there, and even if your approach is more holy, other people's approach is certainly more of a sight to go see, which is usher, unless there's something a little bit more to it. Going against the chief rabbinate, which clearly Paskins consecutively all have always said it's usher to go up there, and it's neged rubo kakulo of all the poskim and all the gedolim of our time and previous generations. So those are the main issues. And just to quote some names who have always been against going on Har HaBayit, whether it's technical or political or because of making other people nechshal, but the policy has always generally been so. I saw something written by Rav Lau, the chief rabbi of Israel. So he writes, a partial list of the Gedolei Yisrael in Taf Shin Kaf Zayin that wrote that it's usher to go up there, and that's Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, Rav Yosef Shalom El Yashiv, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Shauli Yisraeli, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook. Of course, his father also, Rav Avraham HaKohen Cook, also said it's usher to go up there. He was very much against it as well. And Rav Bezalel Zulati, Rav Yitzchak Kolitz, Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, the author of the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Avadya Hadaya, Rav Chaim David Halevi, Rav Yitzchak Arieli. And then he says, and nowadays, in our more recent times, he quotes Rav Avigdor Nevensal, Rav Shlomo Aviner, Rav Chaim Steiner, Rav Yaakov Ariel, Rav Asher Weiss, and there's obviously many more. In other places, you'll see that Rav Avadya Yosef was always, and his son, Rav Yitzhak Yosef, were very outspoken against it. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, Rav Aryeh Stern, Rav Shlomo Amar, Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Herschel Schechter, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Rav Yehuda Amital, and Rav Joseph Soloveitchik. So those are all names that, just a short list of a couple rabbis who's
make their own decision.
Rav Vinovich, Rav Dov Lior, Rav Melamed, and Yaakov of Medan are some of the Rabbanim nowadays who are pro-going. But anyway. I'll just leave it at that, and but I won't say any more. Let's go on. We have any time left? No. I knew that might happen. Here, one interesting question. If you're a chayal and you need to go up on Har HaBayis, so sort of an Or Letzion, others also write, so you need to go, but you should go to the mikvah first. And let's learn the halachot. Go to the mikvah, make sure you have no chatzitza. He says you should shave or cut your hair, so that you don't have long hair when you're going on Har HaBayis. It doesn't mean shave off all your hair, it just means to look proper. And as soon as you finish your tafkid that you need to go up there working for Tzahal, you should walk out as soon as you can, as soon as you're lit. You're not allowed to stay there any extra. Fine, we'll get back to inside tomorrow. Sorry.